This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, April 3rd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Adio A Jr., and joining me is Tim Ma Bugin Geddes.
What's up, man? Wow, Resident Evil 3 Day.
Yeah, dude, it's I didn't realize it. That's crazy. I'm very curious to see what people think about this one.
Yeah, me too. I think that the general consensus of the people playing is that they're going to enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah,
I think there's going to be a lot of people that are very vocal about how much they love this game. I think that some of the hardcore fans of the original are going to be really vocal about how upset they are about how much was cut from the original game.
Was there a lot cut? That's a conversation we didn't really have too much of.
Yeah, we were kind of held back a little bit by some embargo stuff, but now that's up. There's a boss fight, a pretty major boss fight cut, and a dungeon essentially that was cut. However, in my opinion, those were good cuts, good omissions, because that boss fight was not fun.
In the original?
Yeah. I feel like this game kind of like made the right calls with where it cut things, but it does end up, you know, as we were talking about in our review that you can find on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, it kind of just feels weird that it's a $60 title that literally is over in between 5 and 7 hours for all of us.
Yeah. I have a feeling that people are going to be generally positive on this game. Like, seeing the reviews, seeing how split the reviews are,
knowing that
the people who are going to buy this game are going to be fans of Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. Like, I have complaints as somebody who's coming into the franchise at Resident Evil 2 Remake. But still, like, I feel like if you're coming to this game with the expectations set right, you're still gonna have a good time.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just I really do think it's just the $60 price tag. If it was $40, I'd be raving about this game.
Same.
I do think there's just something missing to really kind of make it feel like a full package. At the end of our review, we were talking about how we didn't know what everyone else was going to give it because the embargo hadn't hit yet, and we were kind of taking guesses on where it was going to land, and we were all in agreement that we thought everybody was kind of going to be with the four of us, and looking at the reviews, they're all over the place. It's getting nines, it's getting sixes. It's like, what the hell?
It's crazy. But
it's a great game. It's just, you know, maybe wait for a sale on this one.
For sure. Tim, how are you doing? We're at the end of, is it week two or week three now? I've lost all sense of time.
It must be three because we did three James Bond movies in home. Spectre and Skyfall. Flip those. But yeah, man, it's crazy, right? 2 weeks down. Yeah. We have at least four more to go.
I've been considering taking up TikTok. Good. I've been considering posting some TikToks. I think I saw Cool Greg tweet actually right before this about Gia looking him directly in the eye and being like, we're making TikToks or something along those lines.
Yeah, Gia's been really trying to push the agenda of turning us into a TikTok household. And
are you buying into it?
I mean, I am, but the problem is, Bless, it's a young man's game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to be able to do all these little like challenges and all that stuff. I look like a damn fool doing it. You know what I mean? I wish I didn't. I wish that me doing it looked funnier or sexier than it does. It does neither of those things. It just kind of looks like a schlubby fat guy fucking semi-moving on rhythm. And that's something nobody needs to see.
Now, have you been seeing the Instagram challenges? Because I've been partaking in them, specifically like the workout challenges, because the homie Yusuf is all about working out, and so I get it through him. But he challenged me to the 10 push-up challenge, which is whatever. But yeah, then yesterday was the handstand on Instagram, which if you're unfamiliar, if you missed this, basically I think Tom Holland was the one that started it, and he challenged Jake Gyllenhaal, if I recall correctly. And you're basically upside down. You're doing a handstand against the wall, and you have to put on a shirt while you're in that position. And seeing Jake Gyllenhaal do it, I was like, oh shoot, man, like this must be like a big man's game. Like, you gotta have some work, some muscle in order to do this. And then I saw Yusef do it, and I was like, well, Yusef's a chump, And so, like, if he's up to do it, then, like, you know, and he challenged me and quite a few friends. I think Belinda did it, and I think my friend Rihanna also tried to do
Barrett
hasn't posted her yet. But yeah, Barrett did it. Like, a whole bunch of people are doing it.
The funniest thing is I feel like the bigger you are, the harder it is because you're holding up a lot more weight, obviously.
Yeah, it's a lot more weight.
And so I don't know if I'd be able to do it. But Andrew McLean, who is the guy that was Star-Lord at Disneyland and stuff, the most human action figure I know in my life, he did it as well. And he struggled. And he has the biggest fucking muscles I've ever seen. So I don't know. I'm scared about doing it. I don't want to break it. No. Last time I did it, I was told to do a handstand. I broke my clavicle. That is a true story.
Whoa. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's crazy. It
was junior year of high school. My PE teacher was a punk ass bitch. And he was mad that me and Alfredo were like not paying attention. All right. So maybe we were the punk ass bitches in retrospect. But he was like, Tim, we're doing a yoga class thing. He's like, you're going to instruct, like, you're going to be in front of the class as the demo. And I was like, great. He's like, do a handstand. I was like, I can't do a handstand. He's like, try. And so I did. Went up. Went straight down.
Jesus. Crack. Laying on your clavicle. Oh my God. Have you done a handstand since then? What up?
I was just going to ask, are you now into the idea of getting an actual desk at your place?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially since it seems like this is, I don't know if it was officially announced or not, but this seems like it's extended until like June 1st.
It's officially announced until May 1st.
Yeah.
For San Francisco.
Sorry, I got the months mixed up, but yeah, May 1st. And so at this point, yeah, I'm probably gonna request a desk.
All right,
so,
cool. I haven't been to the studio in a while. I'm interested to see what state it's at right now.
What's going on?
Yeah, so maybe I'll swing by this weekend, perhaps.
Now, when you mentioned swinging by the studio, do you mean you're gonna take the desk from the studio, or do we have like desks?
No. Right before all this happened and we got in lockdown, like literally the Friday beforehand, I went to Hayward and I bought 9. More desks so that we can have for like future growth, and so I have a whole bunch at the studio, at the new studio, chilling there. That's actually I have 2 of those desks here at my my place right now for me and Paula.
Dang,
yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I'm not gonna go break down, and they're already broken down, and they're super easy to put together, so that should be
break nice and easy. Down.
The only problem, it's on, you know, you haven't seen the place. There's a bathroom, right? That's like maybe 9 feet high. Mm-hmm. Because of all the stuff they're doing, they've put it on top of there. So I have to go with a ladder. And then the ladder only takes me up about 7 feet. So the other 2 feet, it must be like 10 feet. Because the other 2 feet, I got to like kind of climb and shimmy myself on, and these are giant pieces of wood. But we'll get it. Don't even worry about it, Blessing. Don't worry about it. I mean, if I die, I die. You know what I mean?
If he dies, he dies. But Tim, you haven't done a handstand since then.
No, no way.
No, okay.
Not a chance. All right,
if I challenged you to the handstand challenge, you're not doing it.
Barrett challenged me.
Challenge?
No.
I was able to do it, but also I am light as a feather. I made it look easy, but I'm also very light.
You made it look effortless. That's probably the thing. You were looking damn good doing it too. Yeah, I don't know. This is kind of funny games.
This is kind of funny games daily. Today's stories include The Last of Us 2 being delayed, the BAFTA Awards announcing their winners, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when you get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free along with the exclusive daily post show. And now it's time for some housekeeping. Today, Troy Baker is coming to We Have Cool Friends. It's happening after Kinda Funny Games Daily on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or later on youtube.com/kindoffunny. So if you're watching this live, go ahead and get in your questions, if you haven't already, to Troy Baker, of course. Everybody here is familiar with Troy Baker, but yeah, esteemed voice actor, one of the best in the game, Joel from The Walking Dead, Booker DeWitt. I don't know why those are always my go-to for him, but they are for some reason. He was also, what's his name? Delson Rowe? Is that his name in Infamous Second Son? This is a great question. I'm pretty sure his name is Delson Rowe, but that was
Joker,
also Troy Baker.
In Arkham Origins. Joker.
Yeah. A bunch of the roles that you love, that's Troy Baker, and he's coming through right after this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. So stay tuned for that. Thanks to our Patreon producers, Muhammad Muhammad, Al Tribesman, and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by PS I Love You XOXO, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 6.5 stories today.
Baker's Dozen!
And I know what you're thinking. 6.5. What a peculiar number.
What is this? That sounds like a Square Enix game title.
Well, we're going to start off with something that is related to Square Enix. I'm starting off with a story 0.5. I'm not going to get into story number one. I'm putting this as story 0.5 because I wanted to lead off with this. I don't even want to get into a full discussion about this. This is more so just a PSA. There's a new Final Fantasy VII trailer, and you shouldn't watch it.
Do not watch this trailer.
Jason Schreier put out a tweet saying, PSA, absolutely do not watch this trailer if you care about spoilers. Not just 23-year-old spoilers, but new twists and turns, too. I also went and watched the trailer, and I can't confirm. Don't watch the trailer.
Why would they do this? Why the fuck would they do this? I'm so mad at shit like this. Like, they did it with Final Fantasy 15 as well. Recently, they were doing it. Like, they did it with Metal Gear Solid 5. Like, I feel like it's a very Japanese company thing to do. That to the last minute just fucking spoil everything in the game, like all the cool reveals and all the cool stuff. It's like, why the people are waiting for this with bated breath to know what's different from the original? Don't show it all in this damn trailer, man. A 5-minute trailer.
Yeah, and it's
tight as fuck, though.
it's tight as fuck, but it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I'm like, I wish they released the trailer like maybe 2 weeks after the game is out, or like give people time to like finish the game and so they want to actually check that thing out, like. And also, like, don't put it on TV. I don't expect them to show this anywhere on, like, TV or anything like that. But the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order was that situation where it was a commercial with, like, one of the big ending moments in the commercial. Yeah. And it's like, why would you include that? And so I wanted to include that, not as, like, an official news story, but as a 0.5, because I wanted to lead off with that, let people know, like, hey, if you plan to play Final Fantasy VII Remake and you're very much looking forward to it, I would stay away from this trailer. If you don't care about spoilers or you're not that kind of person, then sure, go for it. But yeah, I'd recommend maybe like staying away from the trailer because it's a lot of stuff in there.
That was news story 0.5, final chapter prologue of
Exactly. Kind of Daily. Story number one, The Last of Us 2 and Iron Man VR have been delayed indefinitely. I'm pulling from Jason Schreier at Kotaku, and this is the thing that we've talked about. We talked about last episode at the very end during kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Yeah, it was breaking news.
You and Greg did a little PS I Love You XOXO special, breaking it all down, what this means for the PlayStation ecosystem. Fantastic content you can get on YouTube /kindoffunnygames right now.
/kindoffunnygames. We're on the PS I Love You XOXO podcast feed. Me and Greg talked for like 30 minutes about what all this means, the ripple effects, what may happen with Last of Us Part 2 if that becomes like a PlayStation 5 title. All we talked about a lot of things, and so that's not necessarily the discussion I'm going to have on this show. A lot of people wrote in with questions, and basically we're going to read part of Jason Schreier's report, get all the details, and then we're going to just answer questions, because that's where I feel like we can get some more new interesting conversation in. And so I'm going to start with Kotaku's article here. The much anticipated post-apocalyptic adventure The Last of Us 2 will be delayed indefinitely due to the coronavirus pandemic, publisher Sony said yesterday. Quote, update: SIE has made the difficult decision to delay the launch of The Last of Us Part 2 and Marvel's Iron Man VR until further notice. Logistically, the global crisis is preventing us from providing the launch experience our players deserve, end quote. And that was on their Twitter. This is Kotaku. The game, which had been previously scheduled for May 29th, is nearly done and ready to go. A Naughty Dog developer told Kotaku this afternoon. This was a decision made for logistical and economic reasons. Quote, the good news is we're nearly done with the development of The Last of Us Part 2, Naughty Dog said in a statement this afternoon. However, even with us finishing the game, we were faced with the reality that due to logistics beyond our control, we couldn't launch The Last of Us Part 2 to our satisfaction. We want to make sure everyone gets to play The Last of Us Part 2 around the same time, ensuring that we're doing everything possible to preserve the best experience. This meant delaying the game until such a time where we can solve these logistical issues. So that's from the Kotaku article. I'm going to also add in a tweet from Jason Schreier that he made while all this information was coming out, as it was coming out yesterday. This is from Jason Schreier's Twitter. He tweeted, The Last of Us 2 was on track for May, multiple devs say. The primary reason for the delay is the challenge of printing, shipping and selling physical copies right now. Going remote has not stopped those still working on the game, such as QA, from crunching. Hopefully this delay helps. And that was the thing that I was kind of speculating about yesterday, because me and Greg were talking about on the episode of PS Love You that logistical issues could mean quite a few things. I thought that it could include maybe readiness of the game, maybe working from home could have screwed things up. With this added context here, I'm pretty much on board that, yeah, this seems to be pretty much a, hey, physical copies are hard to sell right now, they're hard to make right now, print right now, the release between digital and shipping.
Yeah.
Then Greg added in to the doc here a screenshot from Patrick Klepek's Twitter. Patrick Klepek tweets, according to a memo I've been briefed on, all North American and European PlayStation employees will continue work from home through at least April 30th due to coronavirus. Workers will continue to be paid, quote, regardless of ability to perform remote work due to job function or responsibilities. And then he follows that up with saying, Sony is also issuing a one-time stipend of $1,000 so employees can purchase equipment to enhance their ability to work from home. Tim, yes. We reacted to this as it was happening yesterday, and we're mm-hmm. both in shock, speechless, not surprised, but still just speechless.
Yes.
After having time to sit on it and ruminate on it, what are your thoughts right now?
You know, it's nothing that we haven't said before. This is just the reality of things, and it is very unfortunate for us as gamers and us as consumers of these products. And it is going to be very tough. I think even more tough waiting for this game, having to be stuck at home, knowing that we don't know when it's happening, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is something we've been looking forward to for years at this point. So, of course, we're going to be upset. And, of course, there's going to be, like, a real kind of just bummer mood about it all. But the other side of it is, this is all necessary steps. This is all for the better. And Sony seems to be doing a really good job dealing with all this stuff. Like, everything from Patrick Klepek's Twitter right there, talking about the stipend and all that. I saw yesterday James Stevenson from Insomniac Games was talking about how PlayStation have just been the absolute greatest company to work under during this time, wow. Being super accommodating and helpful to all of its employees across the various studios in whatever way that the studios need, whether that's helping them work from home, letting them know they don't need to work from home, like all that type of stuff. So it's like that it's good that, you know, someone as big as Sony is doing the right thing, which is very difficult to figure out now, I think, because, you know, businesses need to continue to function in order for these employees to have jobs, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of like a weird chicken and the egg thing where you want to make the right decisions to make sure that everyone is okay. But some of those decisions need to be making sure those people are going to be okay in the future. So I think things like this are the necessary moves to ensure that future. You can't risk putting out Last of Us 2, a game that is undeniably going to sell in the millions. You don't want to give that any chance of not hitting maximum sales exposure.
Yes. Tim Frankfurter writes in and says, good morning, Greg and Blessing. I think you meant Blessing and Tim. I'm writing this and almost immediately after the indefinite delay of The Last of Us 2 to ask this, why not release it purely digitally? Yes, I know there are a lot of concerns with the game being finished, internet speeds, and people wanting physical, but hear me out. Physical will happen one day. If the game is close enough to being released, why not release it digital so the fans can still enjoy the game? Preloads start a week before launch, so even those with slower internet speeds can still have it on time. The movie industry moved toward this when no one could go to theaters, so why not release it on time digitally? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter.
So I think you bringing up the movie industry kind of answers the question here. So you said the movie industry moved toward this when no one could go to the theaters. They only moved towards it for the smaller titles. I feel like that works the same for video games. We might see some smaller indie titles get this digital only push. But there's an ecosystem in place and so much money to be made, so much money to be lost when you are putting a release out and kind of crippling its ability to maximize the efforts, especially for something that's such a big blockbuster like A Last of Us. The chances of us seeing Black Widow come to streaming platforms is very, 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 very slim. I feel like the only reason we saw bigger movies like Onward come out is because they already got their theatrical release and they got fucked. Like, that's a perfect example of like don't put things out right now because it's not going to perform the way that it needs to. But they're trying to like make up lost ground there. Last of Us doesn't need to make up lost ground. Last of Us needs to knock it out of the park and be a tentpole moment in Sony's history. So I don't expect this. Going back to the first part of it about, you know, why not just release it digitally? It's not that easy. It's not just like flip the switch, you know, put it out. There's so much more in place. And the last thing you want to do is kind of put something out. Think about Disney Plus with The Mandalorian. It came out and then all the big moments were spoiled and everyone in Europe didn't get to see it for months.
Yeah.
Then when it came out in Europe, it just hits different. It's, you know, it was exciting for people, but so many people that were interested in it had already got it some different way, had already kind of, you know, like either illegally watched it or just been spoiled and like the experience wasn't the same.
Yeah.
I feel like this is similar to that. There's obviously some differences because people can just get digital if they wanted to, but it's not everyone's going to do that. And Sony knows that they don't want to lose that money.
Yeah. Last of Us is a huge ship. Like Last of Us is a big ship to try and turn in that way and to try and make the call to, hey, let's just release this digital for a game that is not even arguably is one of Sony's best or Sony's biggest titles in their catalog. You want to make sure that that game is set up for as much success as possible. And releasing digital only is going to chop up that success in a way that is just not acceptable for them for how big that game is. You have that. You also have the fact that you don't want to piss off retailers. You don't want to piss off Best Buy and Walmart and GameStop, even though GameStop you might not care as much about. But like, you don't want to piss off these places.
Like jokes aside, it's like, you know, at the end of the day, what we're talking about, it's not about ethics. It's not about, you know, friendships and stuff. It's about business. And there are deals in place with all of the big retailers, Amazon included. It's not just brick and mortar places that there are so many deals in place to ensure that everybody's benefiting and making money. And without that system in place, there's significantly less money being made, which means significantly less things being made because that's just how that works. The world is in such a place right now that all the rules are out the window. And I feel like everybody just kind of needs to do their best to play this the right way and be understanding that everyone else is equally fucked. So I think that everyone's going to need to make moves for themselves to make sure that they stay afloat. But this isn't, the gates are open. We can say fuck you to everyone. An example of what I'm saying is if every movie were to come to streaming platforms, theaters would not exist when we come out the other side. If theaters do not exist when we come out the other side, movies are never going to make as much money as they have previously. They will never get the Avengers Endgame billions plus sales because that's just not how home entertainment works. And I don't see a future where that ever will be the case, right? And I think video games are the exact same way. If we burst the wall open now and have these huge titles coming out digital only, we're not going to come out the other side with that not being the case.
Anakin JMT writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, yesterday Tim speculated that Final Fantasy VII Remake could be the last big game to come out for a while. With The Last of Us Part II and Iron Man VR both being delayed indefinitely, do you think this will end up being a sort of boon period for digital-only games that might otherwise be overshadowed by big AAA games? With digital right now being the only guaranteed way to get games in the hands of gamers, could this result in a growth of the indie game market, the like of which we'd never seen before? I think so. Like, I think at this point, with where we're at, with Last of Us being delayed, with Iron Man being delayed, with Ghost of Tsushima probably being at some point delayed once we get closer to it and get a clear idea of what the situation still is, I think, that drought is going to cause people to fall back on a bunch of games that they probably wouldn't have played in the first place. And those games are going to be games that are indie games. Games are still coming out. Like, I've been getting emails and press releases of games that are imminent, like games that are coming out, like not only like this month but in the coming months, that seemingly aren't as affected by this because the teams are either smaller or work remote already, or because of digital only releases. Like, a lot of indie studios are already in a situation where this change to the world doesn't necessarily affect the production of their game because they already work from home, that's an easy pivot to make for them.
I think you're absolutely correct. And I feel like we're kind of an example of that as well, where, you know, we are very lucky in this situation that we are a small enough media company that we were able to shift our product and do it quickly and efficiently to make sure we're doing the same product we normally do, but be able to do it from home. And, you know, people are looking for entertainment now. Like our numbers, I've been really happy to see they seem to be stronger than normal for things. Like example being the Kind of Funny podcast, like more people are tuning in for whatever reason, whether it's just more people are at home to watch or if people are trying to support us, which thank you so much for that, because just like everyone else, we need it now more than ever. But I do think that indie studios can use this time to really kind of focus and put things out and get a lot more attention than they normally would. Not just from, I think it's from every aspect, whether it's just there's nothing else coming out on the e-shops. So when you're like cruising around, you're seeing stuff, you're like, cool, they're getting more promotion from that. But also people have more time to play games now than they ever have. And on top of that, there's no new giant games coming out, or at least they won't be in a couple weeks. So at what point is IGN and GameSpot and all these big guys going to just turn into, hey, we're just going to play things that we normally wouldn't play and talk about because there's nothing else to play and talk about, right? Like
yeah.
That is going to benefit these indie guys immensely. And I really think that this is their game to win at this point.
Yeah, I know an example for me is Untitled Goose Game, that being a game that I played during this quarantine situation that I probably wouldn't have played if I was still showing up to work, because I have some extra free time now with the commute cut out, with like downtime at the office cut out, like with me just being at home, I just have more time to do things. And so I played Goose Game. Yeah, I've been talking to a friend and we've been recommending each other games that we can beat in under 2 hours. And like that's the thing, right? We all talk about our backlog that we never dip back into. When y'all talk about games we missed that we want to get back into, and you know, after Final Fantasy VII Remake comes out and people finish that, right? Like I feel like we're gonna have space to kind of just go back and play. Like I'm gonna go back and play Bloodborne and like finish Bloodborne, even though that's a game I've been actively playing, but I've been taking a break because of recent releases. But like, you know, we're gonna have so much more time. Without the big releases of the next few months coming out, that I do expect to see a lot more indie games or smaller titles, digital only games, get more time to shine and more space to shine. In that same conversation, I'm pulling in a question from Anakin JMT, which is less to do about the Last of Us situation and more so to do about indie games, if I can find it, because I actually lost the question. Here it is. This question is from the Nanobiologist, who writes, "Hi, Blessing Tim. Yesterday, Xbox also showed off a ton of indies, and it got me thinking, and this is coming off of the conversation of the five games that PlayStation showed off on their PlayStation blog, the five indie games that we talked about yesterday. Yesterday, Xbox also showed off a ton of indie games, which got me thinking, is this the best time for indie games? With all that's going on in the world, people's backlogs are slowly shrinking. Indie games must be thriving right now to fill the widening void between AAA game releases. So, do you think Xbox and PlayStation should bring back their Summer of Arcade event, but for the quarantine? Not just videos and blog posts, but highlighting indie games in their stores in fun and unique ways to help indie developers out and show gamers looking for a new game to play their possible new favorite small game. Thanks." That's another one where I'm like, yeah, I think Summer of Arcade would be perfect for now.
I mean, right? If I'm being honest, like, I mean, I really hope that they end up going all in and doing that. But I do feel like that what we got yesterday kind of is the 2020 version of that. Like, I do think that they should kind of market it a little bit better and like put some fancy branding on it just to like really drive it home. But it's great. You love to see it that these guys are talking about indies at this point, because like they know, like the story is written already. Like there's going to be this giant gap of games and people want to play games more than ever. Indie games are going to be there. They're going to be on the cheaper side. They're going to be digital, available to have for everybody. Like it's going to be really interesting in a couple of years to look back and see. Like, I wonder if during this time period, we're going to get two things. If we're going to get another Celeste or another Limbo type thing that Braid, that in years people are going to be referencing as one of those big games, you know? And on top of that, I wonder if this is going to be an opportunity to kind of widen that gap widen the breadth of what we think of when we think quality indie titles, because we think of the games I just mentioned, right? That are kind of like Cuphead, like this level of like, wow, they're indie, but like, damn, they're really some next level shit.
Yeah.
I wonder if those are the 10s. I wonder if this is going to kind of shine a light on the eights and the 7.5s of indie games.
Okay, yeah.
In a more mainstream way, right? We're not just talking about the best of the best that kind of transcend into that AAA level in conversation.
Like, we're talking about, like, the Golf Stories of the world, right? Yes, a game that is, exactly. like, lovely. Like, That's Golf Story it. is probably one of my favorite indie games of the last 3 years. But it's not necessarily, like, a 10 out of 10 game. It's a game that I really love because it has personality and it has a fun story and it has a fun gimmick and all this stuff. But, yeah, it's like an 8, right? It's a fun, solid game. I love to see like more people kind of explore indie games that go beyond like what you're saying, like the Cupheads or even like the Ori's or like the Witnesses of the world. I really liked the 5 indie game thing that PlayStation did yesterday. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was really awesome. And that's kind of what I've been wanting to see more from Sony. More of from Sony, like that type of presentation, that kind of spotlight on indie games. And I think, honestly, I think branding it as something could have put like the final stamp on it. Like, even if it was those 5 games that they showed yesterday, because all of them are like pretty good announcements. Unique. If they did that and packaged it into a, into a state of play, like a indie version of the state of play, kind of like Nintendo does with their, they don't call them indies anymore, but their indie world,
like, yeah.
I think that would have been a slam dunk. Like, I don't know why they didn't package it in that way.
Yeah, you know, PlayStation's always made bizarre decisions when it comes to that type of marketing thing. And I'm sure. So we keep talking about how all of this, the game delays are going to continue to happen and how this is going to affect us playing games and when games are going to be delivered. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but this is also going to affect games being announced. Last of Us being delayed indefinitely is... huge. It is, we don't know when it's coming out the other side. Probably the right call. You don't want to put a date and have to push it back again. We're seeing this a lot on the movie side of things where many movies are being delayed indefinitely and they're just kind of like, we'll figure it out when we do. But then there's some like Wonder Woman where they put a date on it. But that was for a specific reason. That was for them trying to be like, we're hoping it's done by then and we want to just secure this so that because movie dates are, unlike video games, I feel like there's a lot more of a competition on if 2 movies are releasing on the same weekend.
Yeah.
And whereas video games, for the most part, I feel like Doom and Animal Crossing can come out and it's fine. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like, I feel like you don't want to be announcing these dates and stuff, which means what's going to happen for the E3 week? Like, what's going to happen with press conferences? Even if they're not in 1 week, it's like Ubisoft already said they're doing something. Microsoft, we know, is doing something. Like, what are they doing? Bethesda backed out already, right? But it's like, at what point do we not get major game announcements for the foreseeable future, right? At what point is this, we don't get a new game and we don't get new announcements until August?
Tim, I'm very curious to see. Story number 2, though, is wild. I'm bringing it up. Game Exchange remains open despite COVID-19 and sends workers debunked health advice. This comes from Rebecca Valentine at gamesindustry.biz. She writes, though many parts of the U.S. have now recommended the closure of all non-essential businesses to limit the spread of COVID-19, Arkansas-based games retailer Game Exchange is keeping stores open for now. Before I continue this article, actually, are you familiar with Game Exchange?
No.
Game Exchange is a store that was in my town growing up that I thought was only in my town growing up.
I mean, it sounds like it's Game Exchange. What a horrible name.
I used to love Game Exchange when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, because you just go in there and you exchange games. You'd like go in there and trade. Like, that was like before I had a concept of a GameSpot, or not GameSpot, GameStop, and trading in your games. That was like the place I went to trade in my games. Yeah, Game Exchange, and they closed down. I thought that was different, but yeah, yes, I didn't realize they were a thing until today, this morning. The article continues, speaking to Kotaku, multiple anonymous Game Exchange employees reported store leadership had failed to provide them with adequate cleaning and sanitation supplies for their stores, and furthermore, had sent around a list of health and safety recommendations to stores on Tuesday that included, among proven strategies such as hand washing, a number of unsubstantiated claims. These included recommending gargling a mix of vinegar and warm water, hanging clothes in the sunlight to dry, and and avoiding consuming cold foods or drinks as methods to kill coronavirus. The ability to hold one's breath for 10 seconds was also suggested as a way to determine one was not infected.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. All these claims have been debunked by either individual medical professionals or the World Health Organization as a whole. Ooh. One employee reported sending an anonymous email to Game Exchange owner Grant Wetherill asking for further action to be taken to protect employees and customers. Wetherill responded by focusing on the anonymity. I can't say that word, but you know what I mean.
Anonymity. Why is it fucking me up?
Did they misspell it in this story? No. Is that why we're not getting it?
Anonymity. It's anonymity. Anonymity. That's anonymity. Yes, that's why it's weird.
Yeah, anonymity of the employee with a portion as legit. I thought I was having a stroke.
Yeah,
with
me too. A portion Jesus.
Reading as follows: quote, I can't do anything to address your concerns if I don't know who I'm talking with. I can tell whoever you are that I spend lots of times in my stores, even though I have Parkinson's disease and asthma. Plus, I'm 56 years old, so don't lecture me on risk. I'm here if you want to be an adult and talk to me, end quote.
Get fucked. Holy shit.
That's out there this- now. Not because it's like the biggest of news stories, but because it's just wild. Like, everything about this news story is wild. Like, Grant, what's his name, Werthal? Like, him, or Wetherill, him having the Werthal to, like, one, give false advice to, I mean, I don't know if it's him directly that's giving the false advice, but for the top to give false advice to their employees, such as, hold your breath for 10 seconds, if you can, then you don't have the corona. One, get fucked for that. But then also, yeah, for those last part, if you want to be an adult and actually talk to me and not be anonymous, get out of here.
Dude, I was saying earlier, ridiculous. It's like, we're all in this together. Everyone's equally fucked. Best, whatever. This is not doing that. Like, this is the opposite of that. Like, oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to include this because, like, fuck that, number one. But then also, like, be better, Game Exchange.
Be better, man.
I also thought y'all were out of business, and so I was gonna say glad to see that y'all are still kicking it. But if this is how you're operating, hey man, be better. That's all I'm gonna say. Is just be better. Number three, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Outer Wilds wins best game at BAFTA Game Awards 2020. I'm pulling this from Jordan Alleman at IGN.
It did it.
Yeah, finally.
Holy shit! Wait, this is still like not... we've been talking about this. Bless, right? Like that Outer Wilds was the one that and Resident Evil.
Yeah, I was gonna say and Resident Evil too. But yeah, Outer Wilds is also like another one that I was in the Game of the Year conversations consistently, but never mm-hmm. was able to kind of secure one. Even though I think they might have won.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Always a babysitter.
I think it might have took Giant Bombs, but I'm not sure. But yeah, like they did it. I'm gonna pull up IGN's article. Tim, how well do you know the BAFTAs, and are you familiar with what the BAFTA BAFTAs are?
I'm very, is very
that,
lightly.
Is that worth explaining for the audience?
I mean, you can.
Yeah, the BAFTAs are the oh, where'd it go? Crap!
The British Academy Game Awards.
Yes, the British Academy Game Awards. Outer Wilds won Best Game for British Game, which is a category that I love. Observation won it. Sinai Wild Hearts won Artistic Achievement. Ape Out Audio Achievement, which I highly agree with. Disco Elysium debut game, Path of Exile evolving game, Untitled Goose Game Untitled Goose Game for family game. I'm gonna skip around here. Outer Wilds won the award for game design, Death Stranding technical achievement, Apex Legends multiplayer, and yeah, like there are quite a few awards in here. Go to IGN or go to the BAFTA website. I'm sure you can find it there to find all the winners. But yeah, congratulations to Outer Wilds. That's one mm-hmm. that Andy talks about that game because I know Andy loved that game. And every time I hear people describe that game, I'm like, this game sounds like one of the greatest games ever made. But then I play it and try it, and I'm like, all right, it's just not vibing with me. But yeah, shout out to them. They did it.
Mm-hmm.
Story number four. Twitch breaks 3 billion total hours watched in a single quarter for the first time. This comes from Rebecca Valentine at gamesindustry.biz. Unsurprisingly, as more people stay at home for longer periods of time due to COVID-19, they are also watching more live streams. The quarterly live streaming industry report from Streamlabs and Stream Hatchet shows that Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook all saw quarter-over-quarter lifts in viewership in quarter one 2020, with Twitch surpassing 3 billion hours watched in a single quarter for the first time ever. In total, Twitch reached 3.1 billion hours watched, up 17% quarter over quarter, a 33% increase in the number of unique channels, and an all-time quarterly high in average concurrent viewership of 1.4 million. YouTube similarly saw rises, reaching 1.1 billion total hours watched, up 13% quarter over quarter, and an all-time high quarterly average concurrent viewership of nearly 500,000. Facebook Gaming also saw increases, reaching 554 million hours watched for the quarter. In fact, the only platform that saw decreases was Mixer, which had 81 million hours watched last quarter, down 7.3% quarter over quarter. Average concurrent viewership was also down 5%. That said, it's worth noting that Mixer's total viewership hours and average concurrent viewership have been on a downward trend since quarter two of 2019, when they peaked at 113 million, a trend that continued even as Ninja signed with the platform last summer. Tim, these aren't surprising numbers, are they? They're great numbers, Mixer, but not surprising.
The Mixer thing's the only one that's semi-surprising to me, but it's on a decrease even during this time.
Yeah, like everybody's up seemingly during the quarantine time. But yeah, Mixer decreasing quarter over quarter. Also, it isn't necessarily surprising to me, I think, because I think you were going to see that spike when they signed in Ninja and they signed in quite a few other talents. I forget all the names of all the people that went over there, but there are like quite a few people that they signed to come over. And I think once you see that stop, or once that signing, like, I mean, Ninja was really like the big name. And I forget if Dr. Disrespect was part of that too.
No.
Was it Courage? Is Courage also on
YouTube?
Okay. I forget the other people, but like,
yeah.
Once all those big names kind of get signed and contracted, and you kind of run out of big names to bring over, I think you will start to see that dip over time.
That's a good point, actually. Like, that's we're seeing a decrease because it was such a spike.
Yes, exactly. But more people are at their home watching video games, which makes sense. And
yeah, you know,
cool.
And that's we're going to continue to see this. I think I'm pretty scared about the internet at some point instilling some deeper rules once this goes on long enough, because right now it's all like HBO is giving things free, and you know, like, so many people are like changing their programming and stuff to allow kind of like people to have something to do during these times. But you know, we see in Europe they're doing all that stuff like throttling the internet speeds and recommending that you don't watch things in 4K on Netflix. And we all that stuff about the PSN kind of throttling stuff as well.
Yeah.
At what point did that start affecting us, which was going to like potentially cripple our business, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's scary. And
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. I hope it doesn't get there.
Yeah, I hope so too. Like the idea that, say, Discord, for example, decides that, hey, we're throttling video quality to make room for everyone. Like, it's something that'd be like understandable, but would be bad for us directly with the video quality. Yeah. Subtle things like that could have an effect, but I think with everybody working from home, one like good service is kind of is needed now more than ever. But also, like, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're gonna get that. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's gonna hold up.
Here's the thing.
So maybe we'll just wait and see.
I'm not a scientist, but I'm really happy that we do have one with us, Kevin Coelho. How does internet like work? How does bandwidth work? Like, is there like a finite amount out there?
Hold on, I'm eating. Hold on.
I think it more so has to do with what ISPs have to offer, or maybe not ISPs,
I think,
but maybe
it
like
has
what
to
like
do with the amount of like whether it's copper or fiber in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, there's a place with a bunch of servers and stuff, right? That has copper or fiber running out of it, and then that is going up to a bunch of places, to different places, right? So if you're closer to them, with some internet services, you'll have faster internet, right? But yeah, I think that there's only so much signal you can pass through that before it starts degrading all of the signal. So I think that there might be a limit, but I'm not an expert, and if someone in the chat is, let me know.
There you go.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Also, can we talk about how Kevin is staring into the sun, apparently? Like, Kevin,
just, I, there's no blinds here, so there's just a window to my right. And when I first installed my little setup, I guess it was nighttime.
No fixing that.
Oh shoot!
It would be too much, you know.
Kevin
what I mean?
Is so bright right now.
I love it. Shine bright like a diamond, little Kev dog.
Oh shoot! Story number 5. That's right. We're still going with the Roper Report because there's a lot of news stories today. Surprisingly.
Wait, hold on. Dirty Devil 13 in the chat says, "Kevin, I work for telecommunications in the Air Force. What do you want to know?" I mean, I just asked. How accurate was what I was saying? Dirty Double D.
Let us know, Dirt. Right, Dirty Double D? Is that was that their name?
Yeah.
No way.
No, Dirty Double 13.
Gotcha. Number 5, there's a 5th Platinum Games announcement coming in 2020. I'm pulling this from Jordan Alleman at IGN. And Kevin, if you can bring up the Platinum 4 site, that'd be grand for people to see. Platinum Games has updated its Platinum 4 website, created to reveal 4 new announcements from the company with a 5th entry titled Bonus Stage. You can see the new edition for yourself by heading to the Platinum 4 website and waiting at the top of the page. Initially, you'll only see the previous 4 announcements, but after a short wait, the screen aberrates and shakes, revealing the Bonus Stage message and adding an extra star to the existing 4. The star is tagged with X date 2020, and clicking on it bears no new information. All we can glean from this is that there is another Platinum announcement coming this year. When is anyone's guess, especially given the mischief Platinum has been up to during the past week? Platinum teased players by revealing its 4th announcement on April Fool's Day. The joke game turned out to be Soul Cresta, a side-scrolling shooter to be made in collaboration with Hamster Corporation. Fans were confused due to the realistic premise of the joke, but the announcement is now tagged with Happy April Fool's Day on the website, seemingly confirming that it's not really in development. And I can confirm I was also very confused by that because I saw the trailer.
Very confusing.
I watched the trailer and I was like, I don't know if that's a real game or not because that looks like a real game, but it's April Fool's and they're tagging it April Fool's. And so I guess I don't get the joke. It's just a game.
Yeah, I'm looking at the trailer right now. What the fuck? Why is this not real?
Yeah.
Like, that's weird as fuck.
It's weird, especially because they have that as the 4th announcement still, and now I guess there's a 5th announcement replacing the 4th announcement, but it seems like it's not even replacing it, it's just on top of it.
It's very confusing.
If you're following the Platinum 4 situation, there's a Platinum 5th coming out, which excites me because I love Platinum. I think they do really great work, and I have no guesses of what it could be, aside from hopefully something near related if everything goes my way. That's all I got for you. Last story, number 6. This is a quick one for me.
There we go.
Rogue Legacy 2 has been officially announced. I'm pulling from Jonathan Dornbush at IGN. Despite what could have been an April Fool's joke pointing to its existence, Cellar Door Games has confirmed today that Rogue Legacy 2 is officially in the works. Quote, "Your legacy continues." Cellar Door Games wrote in a tweet revealing the sequel while also revealing a first look at the sequel. No release date or projected platforms have been announced by Cellar Door Games yet, but the tweet today confirms a tease Cellar Door posted yesterday, indicating a sequel might be in the works, and Cellar Door has confirmed more info set to be revealed soon. Tim, we talked about this a little bit yesterday because there was the tease. Now it's real, and I am very excited about it because I loved Rogue Legacy 1 and Rogue Legacy 2. Like, piggybacking off our discussion about indie games earlier in the show, right? Like, Rogue Legacy is another one where it's like, yeah, dude, this is like a 9 out of 10 game that like a lot of people missed out on because there are just too many games in the world. There's a lot of indie games. There's a lot of things competing for our attention. Rogue Legacy, very, very quality game. Again, it's like a roguelite type of game. If you love Dead Cells, I think Rogue Legacy is very up your alley. It's that type of thing. Castlevania kind of themed. Game, really love it. Looking forward to the new one. The screenshots look good, and yeah, I'm.
Oh yeah!
Once again, looking forward to it. Can't wait for it.
This is the type of game we need right now.
It's the type of game we need right now. But Tim,
yes,
Rogue Legacy 2 seems like it's just so far away.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to know what is coming out to Mom and Crop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. Kevin
today,
coming in late is always my favorite thing, and I know it's the internet lag problem, Kevin. I'm not giving you.
It's not, it's just... Tim. It's not. I always forget. Every fucking time. For Yasmin300, who's asking, what am I eating? I'm eating a croissant sandwich with egg, cheddar cheese, and bacon. It was phenomenal, and I miss it already.
Did you make it yourself, or did you order it?
No, Paula made it for me, because she's amazing. I love you, Bear.
God, I fucking hate him so much.
He calls her Bear?
I also hate, Paula Bear. It's kind of cute.
Okay, yeah, it is pretty.
But I hate it. Like, when polar, he pops up. Just look bear. At him.
What?
Look at him over here.
What?
I just pop it up all fucking glitchy, drenched in sun, tidy as all hell.
Kevin
does not look like he's social distancing.
Well, otherwise it would be
Kevin too intrusive. Looks like he's at the beach.
If there was a square, if there was a square right here, I feel like it would take up too much space. And for these purposes, having it keyed out like that, I like it without me actually going to get a green background.
Kevin, you should make it look like you're sitting right next to me, like in the same room. I'm sure there's a way you can work that out.
Okay, here we go.
Oh,
oh no. Well,
scoot over. You got it. Bless you. Got to give me space. Look at it.
Oh, we have fun.
Oh,
here.
Shoot.
It's
my buddy.
Here.
6 feet.
Oh, this is awesome. Oh, if you're an audio listener, you got to tune in to the video for that one. That was perfect.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Why did I disappear?
Kevin has too much power in this website or in this company.
Oh, I'm lost.
Oh no!
God damn it! All right, what is coming out? Drop
out today. We got Pwned for PC.
Pwned.
Resident Evil. I don't know what the fuck Pwned is.
Pwned sounds familiar.
Resident Evil 3 is out for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Hyper Parasite is out today for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Horror of the Deep is out for Xbox One. Curious Expedition, Xbox One. Drift Zone Arcade for Switch. In Other Waters for Switch. Space Force for Switch. Space Force?
Kevin and I played Pwned when it was out on Switch last year at GDC.
Oh.
A fun little co-op puzzle game. That was actually really cool. Remember that?
That was really fun. Yeah. And it had like a mode that you could do if you were playing with kids, where you can just kind of take control, but like they still feel like they're playing. We used it a lot with Tim. He was not great at the game. I think I might have beaten that game. I liked
you
it
did.
A lot.
Yeah,
it was
you
a fun
did.
Puzzle game.
Here's the thing, Buzz. I'm gonna tell you right now. Don't ever, ever play a co-op game with Kevin where one of the mechanics is at any point you can take control of the other character. Because he will just...
No, I'm not doing that.
It is just the fucking worst.
Okay, all right. Know. Some dum-dums are like, I'm doing this. It's like, no, just open the... You know what? I'm just going to take over. Why am I going to waste my time explaining? You get the little guy to where he's going to go, and once it gets complicated, I'll take over. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
Space Force for Switch. Business Wars, the card game for PC and Mac. Dogs of Wall Street for PC. Orbit of Death for PC. And then a sizable grindstone content update called Back to the Grind, which introduces 15 new levels, a brand new boss battle against George's rival, the Jerk-a-Million enemy.
Jerk-a-Million.
And Jerk-a-Million enemy. And three new weapons. Is out today. Game of Thrones Beyond the Wall, available today on Android. Legend of Skyfish 2 is out today on Apple Arcade. And then Phalanx of Resistance is out today on Steam. And then we have one new date for you. Skater XL will be launching on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC in July 2020. Now it's time for Reader Mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by PS I Love You XOXO. Tim, me and Greg host PS I Love You XOXO every week out for the public on Tuesdays. We record it on Patreon on Mondays. We talk every single week about the biggest PlayStation topics. We talk about the games we're playing, the big PlayStation news. We add our spin on them. We have segments such as the 104 PlayStation drop games ranked, where each week me and Greg pick a game from the PlayStation blog drop. That's the game that's out during the week, and we play it, and we give our impressions on it. And we can't pick a AAA game. We can't pick a game that we're going to play anyway. We have to pick a game that we just see on the drop and play it, and we rank it.
You each pick a game, right?
We each pick a game. Yeah, we each pick a separate game. And so we have a ranking going on of 104 games. And Tim, I know how much you love rankings.
I do.
We have
I love ranking things,
104 games. Let me tell you, this segment is both the best thing and the worst thing for me. Uh-huh. Because... it's the best thing because I get to play a lot of games that I probably wouldn't have played in the first place. And
what was that one? Curse, Darkness, Underseal.
Oh, XO, Under Night and Birth. Yeah, yes. Uniclear for the people that are in the community. Yeah. I'm a big fighting game person now, Tim, because I played Under Night and Birth EXE late clear, I think is the actual name of it. But yeah, I get to play games like that I probably wouldn't have played otherwise. Played that game and had a great time with it. And now, like, I absolutely love the game. It's also the worst thing because I also had to play games that end up being very bad. And so that's like my favorite segment during the show. I know people who listen to the show like hearing us talk about very obscure, very unique games also. And so I highly recommend people check out PS Love You XOXO for that. But then also stay listening to it for the PlayStation discussions, the big news, the people leaving PlayStation, coming to PlayStation, the IP acquirements, all the good stuff.
Excellent show. You guys are doing killer work over there. Earlier, you were talking about how you and your friends are doing, like, recommending each other 2 hour or less games.
Yes.
So here's the thing, Buzz. I have one for you that it's either going to click or it's not going to. And you'll know pretty quickly. I think the whole thing takes 45 minutes to beat. It's a game I've talked about quite a lot in my life here. Amplitude. Have you ever given it a shot?
I've not given it a shot. I didn't know it was that short.
Yes. So the campaign is it's kind of like Sayonara Wild Hearts, where it's like a concept EP that it's music that kind of is telling a story. I'll be honest with you, story really fucking weird and like really, really like obtuse and doesn't really make sense, but it's fun anyways, and it's kind of just interesting to go through. It's just a rhythm game. It's fun. It's a lot of electric music and electronic music, and it's not necessarily like what I would say is our vibe of music, but it is a fun experience. And even if you play on like a lesser difficulty, it's I know you like music, I know you like concept EPs and stuff, so I feel like it might be up your alley. And it's only like 45 minutes to get through the main campaign, and there's some bonkers moments that happen that are pretty cool.
I'm gonna add that to the list, and I might check that out, because that sounds very up my alley.
It's really hard if you're not good at rhythm, though. Just a heads up, some people have rhythm problems. Oof, it's so... Get out of here. You can't see Thomas. Oh, there he is. He's glitching in and out.
Oh, is that your cat?
Yeah.
Why are you upside down, Kevin?
And someone said it would be funny if I put myself backwards upside down, and I agree. It's funny.
Kevin's losing it over there.
Kevin is having the time of his life during the quarantine. Right, I couldn't imagine being Paula. Or Thomas. Let's get into reader mail. Let's see here. We have quite a few questions. Actually, we have a couple questions. Sean Valoric writes in and says, so I got an email from Atari last night, probably because I gave them an email for a game somewhere in the past. They're opening a casino, and then he links me, and I'm gonna go to this link so I can verify that this is true. From their website, quote, our catalog of games includes games of luck, games of skill, and hybrid games combining luck and skill. And due to the borderless nature or cryptocurrencies anywhere, that's a huge advantage for the players. Just when I thought the world couldn't get any crazier, Pong for cash, anyone? Just wondering what your thoughts are on this, Sean Valoric. Tim, were you familiar with the casino or with the Atari casino? I'm going to the website right now.
No.
And it looks legit. Me and Greg talked about this few months ago.
Is this the hotel? This.
Well, we talked about the hotel. That's what I was going to bring up.
Casino's a different thing.
I think the casino is a different thing from what I understand. So I'm here. I'm on CasinoAtari.com. Kevin, can you possibly pull this up if you haven't already? New crypto casino coming soon. Our catalog of games include games. Games of luck, games of skill, and hybrid games of luck, combining luck and skill. Wow. Why Atari Casino? Our dedicated Atari Casino team aims to provide our users with the best online casino experience to date, with a collection of all the best Atari games, along with the most popular classic casino games. Atari Casino represents the perfect place to lay back, have fun, and win big. The stakes are adjustable for each player, so you can always find a table and game that's right for you. With great fun come great and valuable prizes. I think there are some typos here. With plenty to enjoy, visit the Atari Casino today and enjoy all the fun.
Yeah, wait, hold on. It has off. There are some strange... I don't think they're typos. I think this is just very, very, very poorly written.
Yeah.
With great fun come great and valuable prizes. That's a sentence. That's no punctuation in it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is real bad. don't know. This is weird. I don't know.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Kev, can you scroll all the way down on this site?
There's a section of the site that says enjoy live games, and it's a graphic of a camera in front of somebody who looks like a show host.
Yeah.
Which gives me HQ Trivia vibes.
So nothing beats the real world authentic casino experience. Atari Casino has prepared for you a series of classic casino games which you'll be able to play live by following and participating in games via a live stream. So I guess like there is a host kind of like playing, dealing your cards or whatever. But Kev, scroll all the way down.
This seems fake, right? This seems like a fake, like a scam. Someone has stolen
Atari. This definitely seems like a scam because like go all the way down.
Hold on.
So there's this part where it says we accept, and it's all the different types of payment that they accept. Yeah. You can kind of see it there. But it's like I'm familiar with, okay, Visa, MasterCard, PayPal. But then it's like I assume that the B is Bitcoin. What the fuck is Ethereum?
Bitcoin. Ethereum is another like Bitcoin.
Ethereum cryptocurrency. Like
I think these are all cryptocurrencies, with the exception of Visa, MasterCard, PayPal.
Yeah, this, what a weird world we live in. I don't know about this, guys.
What is Atari doing?
I will not
doing?
Be partaking.
Trying to make
I don't
money,
think I
dude.
Will be
trying
either.
To make money.
Yeah, but like, this is such a weird way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's the thing that's happening. Let's. See, let's get to the next question if I can find my way back to the doc because I have so many tabs open. Peter Parker Petrov writes in and says, hello to my blessing. My question for you two today is this. As we inch towards the next generation, I was wondering, are we in for a cornucopia of sequels? Ooh. One of the exciting parts of the PlayStation generation is that we get to see a slew of new IP and got to experience new characters and new worlds. As fun as I'm sure Spider-Man 2 will be, are we in for a generation of sequels with possibly God of War 2, Horizon Zero Dawn 2, Bloodborne 2, etc.? Or do you think we'll still see new IP this next generation? Have a great Friday, Parker.
We're going to get all the sequels. It's going to be Sequel-palooza, cornucopia of sequels, and it's very exciting stuff. Brands are important. IP are important, and kind of building on them, I think, is very important to, you know, not only solidify your console as a machine that matters, but also just, you know, for things where, like, look at Nintendo, right? It's like you can have spinoff on spinoff at some point of these games because you've already have built this established fan base and established level of quality for these games. All these games you just named, the sequels are expected to be at least a certain level of quality, right? So it's like that's good. We have good things to look forward to. Will we still see new IP next gen? I think so. I don't think it'll be as plentiful as we saw this gen, for on the PlayStation side at least. I think on the Xbox side, definitely. I do think we're gonna a bunch of new ones. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. We still have Ghost of Tsushima coming out. We had Death Stranding. I think that if Kojima does something, whatever the next thing he does, if it's still linked to PlayStation, which I have a feeling it will be, I think that'll be a new IP. I don't think that'll be a sequel necessarily to Death Stranding.
Yeah, and I think there are the big games for Sony, yes, are going to be sequels toward the first half of the generation, right? Horizon Zero Dawn 2 is going to happen. Spider-Man 2 is going to happen. God of War 2 is going to happen. We know these things are going to happen. But I also think that beyond those sequels, or like if you look at their individual studios, Insomniac, for example, Insomniac could also put out, I guess, Ratchet and Clank 2, which would also be a sequel.
Exactly.
But like, you know, another Ratchet and Clank game or something unique along the lines of Sunset Overdrive, because I believe they have multiple teams there over at Insomniac. That's more of a Greg question. But like, that's not beyond the realm of possibility. You have teams at Sony that did games like Concrete Genie, right? Pixel Opus. Mm-hmm. They could put out a new game. That's not necessarily Concrete Genie 2. You have London Studio that could put out new games, right? Their last game was Blood and Truth. I don't necessarily expect them to do Blood and Truth 2. I know these aren't like the big games or the big big AAA or quadruple A or whatever you want to call them studios that you expect the big titles to come out of.
Start from the top, right? Naughty Dog. What are they doing after Last of Us? Probably a new IP.
Yeah, like I think that's going to be a new IP for sure. I think I had a studio in my mind that I lost. The Days Gone studio, Sony Bend, mm-hmm. right? Like I don't necessarily, and I think me and Greg differ on this, but I don't see them doing Days Gone 2. I think their next game will probably be a new IP of some sort. You got Blue Point, who I know they're not owned by Sony, but their next game, I think they've talked about this in their the Wired article that they're working on a new game for the next console. And I guess they, since they do remakes, that's a different conversation because that is still part of an IP. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's definitely fresher in some ways than a direct sequel to games. But like also at the beginning of this generation, it's not like we weren't also getting sequels. Like we got Killzone Shadowfall, we got Infamous Second Son, we got we got Uncharted 4, right? Like we had sequels to games that we had from the previous generation. I think that's just kind of to be expected with where certain studios are at. But I also still expect to see a lot of new games.
It is interesting though, looking at it, where this is kind of like the first time in a long time that we've only had one title for all of these games. And now next gen, we're about to get the first sequel, right? God of War is a little iffy because it's a reboot essentially of a franchise, but it's like God of War isn't necessarily a sequel. It is, but you get what I'm saying. Like yeah, it's a different type of game. It's like, So it getting its first sequel, Horizon being a new thing, getting its sequel, Bloodborne, Spider-Man. It's like these are new franchises that are all getting their second shot. Whereas like I think from PS3 to PS4, like a lot of the ones you named, those were what, the fourth, third games in the franchises.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a little bit different, but I don't know. It's exciting times, man. We had a great gen, and I think that we're being teed up for a really nice next gen if we can get through the Rona.
Tim, usually this is the part where we get into the squad up, but we didn't get any squad ups in today. Remember, if you want to play games with people in the community, if you need help getting a platinum, if you just want to play some multiplayer, write in patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, squad up, write in with your PSN or your Xbox gamer tag or your Switch friend code, write in with the game, write in with the platform, and we'll make sure to connect you guys with people that you can play with. And now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you can tell us what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Kebab says, correct, it's Delson Rowe, talking about the protagonist in Infamous Second Son that Troy Baker played. AJ writes in and says, Blessing said Troy was Joel in The Walking Dead. He was Joel in The Last of Us. Thank you for that. That was definitely like a, what do they call it, a Freudian slip? It's one of them ones.
One of them things.
Let's see here. Editorializing. Charles Jacobson writes in and says, not all of Europe has Disney Plus. Us in Scandinavia still have to wait till summer, and I definitely lost my excitement for the service. Nail Biologist writes in and says, Giant Bomb did give Outer Wilds Game of the Year 2019.
There you go.
This isn't a you're wrong, but this is even more context. Montezuma writes in and says, Game Exchange saying the methods of killing the virus is not possible due to the fact that viruses are already considered non-living. And so there's a fun fact for you when it comes to viruses and killing them.
Great.
That's true.
Yeah. Outer Wilds is also Game of the Year for Polygon and Eurogamer as well. That comes from Steve Gerbs.
Bless.
What up?
Do you see Dirty Double in there? Was talking about... He said in the chat that he had given more information about the internet.
I don't see anything from Dirty Double. Which sounds
as a stupid statement when you say it out loud.
Yeah, I don't see anything coming from Dirty Double. Nail Balch is right.
More like Dirty Liar, am I right, guys? You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Fucking Kevin is on one, man.
Yeah, Kevin.
We have cool friends with Troy. It's going to be interesting.
Speaking of Mixer, they are giving each partner $100 to help buy food, maintain streaming equipment, or anything else needed. That's from the Nail Biologist. Nail Biologist also gives us a link on how bandwidth works, but I'm not going to go down that big old rabbit hole because that seems like it'd take a while to go through. All right. Musk, he writes in with some bandwidth stuff. And says, bandwidth is complicated, but Kevin is right that there is a hard limit in the amount of data that can pass through wires, copper or fiber optic. Those limits can be in multiple places, though. At the data centers, holding servers in your neighborhood, and at the ISP level in terms of the routes that your packets take from home to destination and vice versa. There are also limits in hardware and how much they can handle. For example, routers have a maximum amount of bandwidth they can handle. Data center versions of routers have much higher limits than a home router, but still have limits. Does that do anything for you, Kevin?
fucking nailed it, you know? Sure, there's different bottlenecks, but I was just giving you the ones you need.
I got also some more, but we're not going to have a whole you're wrong about bandwidth, but thank you everybody who wrote about bandwidth. I appreciate that. Let's see. Missed out. Just happened.
I accidentally cut the record. I hit the wrong button. God damn it. I meant to go back. My bad. Sorry.
Oh, man.
I actually was trying to turn on KevCam.
But you cut the record, so... Is that the end of...
That's the end of that show. Well, we're live now. And we're recording. Live. Okay. And we're recording. So we can button this up and add it to it, or that could be the end of that episode.
Man, that edit, the export's going to fucking kill it.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Here's what we do.
For the stream, we can finish it up and then, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's on y'all for what you guys do.
Let's do that. Let's just do that.
Damn cool. It. Sorry, guys.
Let's see. To finish this up, Nailbot just writes in with a missed out today. The Deadpool skin is out for all players in Fortnite today, and that rounds us out for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Next week's hosts are Monday, it's me and Tim. Tuesday, it's Greg and me. Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary Witta. Thursday, it's Greg and me. And then Friday, it's me and Greg. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily. Oh.